Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's impossible. And I can tell, I mean, you get it. You understand it. Some people don't. At this early point, you mentioned mostly projection. It's all projection. There's guys that are, haven't even started a varsity game yet, that are going to be on this list 2 years from now. So people are going to look back and say, how'd you miss so-and-so? You know, this is based off mostly 1 year of film. You don't see a whole lot of guys that started as a freshman. So most of these guys you saw as sophomores. And like we said with our rankings, it's not even projection to college. It's projection to the NFL. So that's why you have a guy, JT Tuimoloau, number one guy right now. I mean, he's so easy to project. 6'4", 280, 275. Defensive end, obviously, Polynesians, they don't have a problem, you know, getting a little bit bigger, stronger. So he could be a 295-pound inside guy, but you watch him on the circuit this past year at tight end, and just tremendous athleticism and body control and coordination. So really easy to project him. But like you said, for most of these guys, it's tough. I don't put a whole lot of seriousness into it. That we're already seeing guys that we rated after their freshman year who didn't really, advance, whether it be athletically, whether it be just from a compete level standpoint. So we've already made a bunch of adjustments and already gotten the angry DMs and text messages from coaches or parents or even the kids saying, hey, what happened to me? I was rated here and now I'm dropped down to here. So it's never fun, but it's one of those deals that you kind of have to do it. The business requires you to do it. So therefore, boom, there you have it.
We had an Oregon kid, and speaking to this point, we had an Oregon kid that I liked. I had him in my top 15, in part because he transformed his body, he'd been lifting, he cut his weight down, and then he just didn't do a sport and stopped working for about a month, and he gained 20 pounds, and the wrong kind of pounds. And people were like, this is the kid you thought was good? It's like, I didn't know he was going to just go on an eating binge. It can happen with even really good prospects. You mentioned it's an NFL projection, and I think that hurt one of the kids in Oregon's recruiting class this last year, Micah Pittman. Micah Pittman's not going to be that superstar AJ Green, Julio Jones guy at the NFL level. But man, if we're just talking college projection, am I crazy to say he would have been quite a bit higher up the list?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. You know, I hope he goes and kills it. He's one of my favorite kids. Known him since, before high school because I covered his older brother. He is a guy who he's got that huge chip on his shoulder. If he heard you say that right now, he'd want to go down to the studio and fight you right then and there. I mean, he hates to hear that he's not a high-level athlete or doesn't have the NFL measurables or doesn't project as well as other receivers. You know, his older brother, Michael, who's at USC, he's the 6'4 guy with really good blazing top-end speed. Micah is a better football player, but Michael was rated higher coming out. Michael was a five-star. Because he has those NFL projectables. The guy looks like Dez Bryant. Micah is, you know, kind of running back body, probably on a good day, you know, maybe a low 4.6, mid 4.6 guy, which for me is plenty fast, but he's so tough, strong hands, incredibly competitive, pure advanced route runner, can do everything in the book in terms of being out wide, put him in the slot. He can even do some stuff out of the backfield. No one plays tougher or angrier as a receiver than Micah. I mean, he really competes heavily, and like I said, he feeds off on people like us. I'm like, you're in the top 100. That's pretty good. But he was ticked off all year because he felt like he should have been the number one receiver in the country. And in his eyes, he's a number one receiver in the country. It's not college success. It's NFL draft, and we'll see. You know, we'll see how he does there. But I'm pulling for him for sure.
Lebanon linebacker Keith Brown, transitioning back to that 2021 list, the only kid in Oregon to make it. I think you guys did a great job, first of all, in scouting Oregon. I think that's 100% right. Keith Brown, to me, is the only guy who even had a chance at sniffing this list. He's the number 5 inside linebacker in the country. What is it about him that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, so I love the frame. I mean, he's a strong kid, 6'1", 220. I mean, he looks like a college body right now, inside backer. He does everything well. You know, when he's blitzing, plays with physicality, he can drop in coverage and kind of watch some of the offensive tape and see him at running back where he's got the speed. So, again, with us, we love athletes that play both sides of the ball. We love guys that play two sports. We love guys that do track, baseball, basketball, whatever. We're looking for multi-sport athletes. I think the NFL draft has shown that those are the guys that get drafted, but not just the guys that just play football all year round. And so you see Keith, and again, two-way guy, running back, linebacker, versatility. I like the athleticism. I love the toughness. I love the physicality. For me, linebacker, you should probably be the toughest guy in the field. I love the way he takes on blockers and comes up and runs support. So for me, yeah, he's a no-brainer.
Talking to 24/7 Sports national recruiting analyst Greg Biggins. Seven McGee, the Oregon commit, Oregon's lone commit in the class of 2021 right now. He's rated the number three running back in the entire country. People get hung up on the fact that he dropped six spots. That means nothing, really. I mean, in the grand scheme, it's not that you guys think his stock dropped. He's still one of the top three running backs in the country. What stands out about Seven McGee? And I know people hate to do comps when they're sophomores, but running style, can you give us a comp without you wanting to come through the phone and punch me for doing that to you on a sophomore in high school?
No, I mean, and obviously it's been said about him before, and I'm sure Oregon fans probably see it, but you see a little bit of a DeAnthony Thomas with him. He's going to play at Narbonne next year, which LA City section. That's where DeAnthony came from, Crenshaw High School. So we always say this about players. He didn't drop. It just so happened other players moved ahead of him. People say, oh, it's a cop-out. It's the same thing. It's not the same thing. He didn't do anything wrong. We didn't see as much sophomore tape when he moved out to New York and played his sophomore year out there. So it wasn't so much, you know, that he did anything wrong. Just we saw other guys and they kind of, you know, moved ahead. But I like him a lot. I don't know if he's a running back in college. I think he probably should be rated as an athlete. I think slot receiver might be his best college position. I think that's what he wants to play. For a guy who's played a lot of running back, he really catches the ball well. And guy being 5'8", 5'9", we're talking contested jump balls where he's jumping over guys. Just a smooth, natural athlete, but he's explosive after the catch. He's a guy you can throw a little five-yard hitch to. He makes two, three guys miss and take it to the house. So another guy who get highly competitive like Micah, extremely, he has that chip on his shoulder. He's not happy about his ranking. He thinks he should be probably in the top 20, if not higher, which I have no issue with, right? I have no issue with a guy who feels that way and he kind of believes that, you know, he's the best at his position in the country. You want them to feel that way, as long as they're not too obnoxious and over the top, like some guys were in last year's class, no names.
Yep, but I experienced some of that myself.
I think Seven's special. I think he's really a special football player. It's going to be fun to see him back in Southern California again.
It's funny because I think people think there are tiers to, or they don't realize that there are tiers to this to some degree. There can be sometimes a gap where you say, man, there are seven kids that look like sure things, and then 8 through 50 is really close. And realistically, if you're in the top 100, you're really, really, really good at football. You know, if you're 52, you move up from 68, that doesn't subtly mean your career is going to be vastly different. I think people get caught up on the numbers. If you're a top 100 kid, I think 24/7 Sports is saying, if you're in our top 100, we project you, if you continue on your current trajectory, to be a star as long as you continue to build on that. How frustrating is it to have people, and I know you deal with parents and everybody and fans, bogged down on, like, for example, Seven. He dropped six spots. It doesn't mean you didn't like him. He played out in New York. You didn't get to see his film as well. Maybe if he comes to California and kills it, you go, okay, we have a little more proof against a little better competition. He goes, you know, he'll go up. How much does it bother you to have to kind of fight over stuff that you actually consider pretty nitpicky, and some people think it's kind of the end of the world?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go a step further. If you're a three-star, you're a really good football player. You know, I think people have this, if you're a five-star, you're good. Four-star, pretty good. Three-star means you suck. That's so not even close. If you're a three-star, we're saying you got a chance to be an NFL guy. You should be a really good college player. You should be an all-conference player if you're a high-level three-star. And it's not just top 100. I mean, I think if you're rated in the top 400, which we usually try to rank about that many four-star players, we're saying, dude, you are a special talent. You should be a top three, four-round draft pick, which think about how many players play high school football. And then we're saying you're one of the 500 best. You're in the one percentile. I mean, you're really, really good. So there really isn't much difference between a guy who's rated number 50 and a guy number 400. It's so subjective. And for us, again, it's an NFL draft. For a college, you know, they don't care as much about the NFL. You know, it's all about system fit. So you could be a 4-star for Oregon and a 5-star for Alabama and a 3-star for Kentucky. You could be the same player. It's just how you fit in a certain scheme and a certain offense, a certain defense. So it is so subjective when it comes to rankings. But I do think people get a little nutty and go berserk over a player who's rated as one of the best in the country. Again, no names. We had a kid last year in the 2020 class. He had his coach flipped out because I think he was number 2 or number 3 in the nation. And we're going, dude, you lost your mind. Like, there's no way. And he didn't even see the kid who was rated ahead of him. He never heard of him, never saw a second of film. But in this kid's eye, in the coach's eyes, he was being disrespected for being ranked like 3rd or 4th in the country. So you see a lot of nuttiness when it comes to rankings. That me and Huffman, who I know you know really well, it's funny, rankings day is probably one of those days where we're just like, we just want to put our phones down and not even look at any of our text messages or DMs. It's a lot of wackos out there for sure.
I can totally relate. And when I deal with such a small group in the state of Oregon, you know, I'm sometimes dealing with basically ranking 7 kids, you know, that have a chance to be Pac-12 kids. There are times where I come out with them and I hear from all 7 kids or their parents that day. Like, they're going to call and be like, why was I 2 and not 1? And I can't even imagine nationally, because, again, I just do Oregon, and I deal with some of that. I can't imagine what you deal with on that level. I want to get you out on this. Again, we're talking to 24/7 Sports national recruiting analyst Greg Biggins. People think there's kind of the same set of talent in each class, and that's just simply not the case. For example, in the class of 2020, there aren't a lot of really good offensive linemen on the West Coast. There are a lot of receivers this year. What are you seeing early? And I know it's early and guys will crop up in terms of where the West Coast is deep and maybe where it's a little more thin in the class of 2021 that teams can maybe prepare for by maybe over-recruiting in 2020 to compensate for the fact that there's not as much talent or there's more talent in 2021.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I think it's another down year for linemen on both sides of the ball. And honestly, that's kind of an epidemic. And I was just talking to someone from the South, a coach, and he was like, God, where are your linemen? And he was just kind of – it wasn't like he was talking smack me. Like, you know, everyone says kids from the West Coast are soft. I don't think they're soft. We just don't see a lot of linemen. And it's so true. You know, whoever our number one O-tackle is or our number one D-tackle, there's 20 of those guys in the South. And our number 2 guy would be number 50 out in the South. And their gap in the South between like 1 and 30 is pretty slim. There's a huge gap between our 1 and 2 and 3 guys. They just, I don't know what it is, but in those states, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, they're just, South Florida, they're just built differently. Skill-wise and quarterbacks, I feel good about, but linemen, that's where it's so hard for schools to compete. And that's why I think, you know, a coach like, you know, Mario Cristobal, you know, he's making such a huge emphasis like on going out to those places and getting linemen, because unfortunately we just don't have a lot of them. To answer your question, I think 2021 West Coast-wise quarterback is looking really good right now. Obviously, our number one guy is Sam Heward out of Washington. I think he's really good. You know, the game just looks so easy. I always kind of say you can tell with a quarterback when he gets it, the game just kind of slows down for him. Sam is so polished. And it's just in terms of reads and anticipation, throwing the ball, getting out early on time, being accurate with his throws. He checks off all those boxes. I think, you know, Jake Garcia is our number 2 guy out west. He's a top 25 guy nationally. But there's 3 or 4 guys out west that all have a chance to be in the top 100. Tyler Buckner is already committed to Notre Dame. Missed his whole entire sophomore year with a torn ACL. But for me, I think the guy actually, you know, still should be in the top 50 if we're going off a projection. Miller Moss from Alameda, these are all some of the California guys. All really good. Jake Rubley, for anyone who's a Rams fan like myself, he's TJ Rubley's kid who played for the Rams way back in the day. So he's a kid out of Colorado. So those 4 or 5 quarterbacks I think could eventually all be in the top 100. But right now it's Sam Heward and Jake Garcia are 1 and 2 out west and probably in the top 3 or 4 nationally as well.
He's Greg Biggins. You can find him at Greg Biggins, Biggins, B-I-G-G-I-N-S. NS. Also, you're on the Transparent Truth podcast, which I have to just say, I know, you know, I do this professionally. I'm a big fan of that. I love that podcast, the way you guys deep dive into various topics in recruiting. It's really, really good. I think you do a phenomenal job. Where else can people find you, or maybe where can they subscribe to that podcast?
So it's called The Transparent Truth, like you said. I do it with a guy named Keith Miller, who's a good guy, extremely opinionated. It's kind of like we're pretty much opposites in every single way you can think of, from not just our on-air personalities, but the way we do life. So I think it's just called The Transparent Truth. Just go to, you know, iTunes, and you can subscribe right there. So The Transparent Truth, I appreciate the little plug and the shout-out. We have fun with it. And, no, man, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, man. We'll have to have you on again. And it's been a misstep by me not to have you on sooner. Thank you very much for joining me.
Anytime, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.